Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our memory has an interesting way of working because it is able to store within it very specific information about significant events in our lives. When something significant happens, something that really catches our attention, we have this tendency to be able to understand and to remember exactly where we were when that event happened, what we were doing, what time of day it was, all kinds of different details that normally we don't take with us on any particular day. I can remember the day that I was told that Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. I can exactly remember where I was and how I was informed. I can remember the day that my grandparents were killed, where I was, and how I found out. I can remember the day that the Pittsburgh Pirates won the 1971 World Series. I can remember the Immaculate Reception in 1972. And I can remember exactly where I was and what I was doing on February 22nd, 1980. I was at the University of Pittsburgh, interestingly enough, not where I went to school, but I was visiting a friend. It was a Friday. It was in the middle of the day. The U.S. Olympics were being held in Lake Placid, New York. And I sat with a group of people I did not know in front of a television set in a common area in the dormitory called the Towers at the University of Pittsburgh. And I watched a group of people who were my age defeat the Soviet Union hockey team. It has been known as the miracle on ice. Al Michaels made that phrase famous at the close of the game as he was announcing it. There's been a movie made about the whole experience, which actually is a pretty interesting movie because it gives a great deal of insight on that. But the reason why I bring that up is because of the phrase, miracle on ice. Was it a miracle? Is that an event that you would claim to be miraculous? The English language is an interesting thing because we have a tendency really to overuse words quite a bit. In fact, in the latest edition of the Webster Dictionary I read this morning, the word literally now has a different definition that says literally can actually be figuratively, because we have so overused the word literally incorrectly that it's changed a sub-definition of that word. So what about the word miracle? What does miracle mean? Was that event in 1980 miraculous? It depends on your perspective. It depends on your definition of the word. It depends on what you understand a miracle to be. In today's gospel lesson, we're talking about a miracle. The feeding of a whole bunch of people. 3,000, 5,000, it depends on what lesson you read and happen to understand. Too, it says 5,000, well, that's just 5,000 men. It doesn't count the women and the children because the women and children don't count. Apparently, they don't eat enough. I don't know. But there's probably, then you can double that amount, say about 10,000 people were fed. Who knows? Who cares? A whole lot of people were fed. And I think that's the point of the story. Not in Matthew's lesson, but in other lessons we find the understanding of that fish in those loaves of bread coming from a little boy who decided it was appropriate that he was going to share his lunch or his dinner with everybody there. That simplistic understanding of a child. An adult would look at it and say, what? Well, how are we going to feed all these people with this? But the child just understood it was something that he had, that he could give, that would help. So, the miracle took place. There's a movie that came out a number of years ago called Bruce Almighty. I find it to be a very entertaining movie. I find it to be a fairly theologically relevant movie, believe it or not, that Jim Carrey could do anything that was theologically relevant. It's kind of surprising. But if you don't know the movie, Jim Carrey is a guy kind of down on his luck a little bit, and he places all the blame for all his troubles on God. And so God responds. God responds by giving Jim Carrey the ability that God has. God tells Jim Carrey he's taking a vacation for a while, he's tired of it, and so now Jim Carrey is in charge of taking care of things. Excuse me. And so he goes through these days trying to figure out what it is that God does and tries to figure out how he makes things work. And in the end, he's wholly frustrated by what he sees as his lack of ability to be able to change and correct the world and be able to help people, and he seems totally overwhelmed by everything. And he begins to complain to God about the inability to do anything of significance. And as God's talking to Jim Carrey, God was Morgan Freeman in this case, he explains the difference between what he saw to be a miracle as opposed to other things. As soon as Jim Carrey had received his powers, one of the things he did at a diner was he parted his soup. In a true Moses tradition of parting the Red Sea, he parted tomato soup. And Morgan Freeman tells Jim Carrey, parting your soup, that's not a miracle. That's a magic trick. Because a miracle is a single mother working two jobs who's still able to find the time to take their child to soccer practice. A miracle is a teenager in the midst of his friends saying no to drugs. A miracle is somebody going next door to help a neighbor that they really personally can't stand. You see, sometimes I believe that we confuse the understanding of what a miracle is, and we anticipate miracles to be those things that have nothing to do with us, that simply God's going to come down and in some magical way go boom and fix it. And we cry to God on a regular basis to come out of wherever you are, oh God, and fix this problem for me because I'm so overwhelmed by what's going on. And the reality is that Jim Carrey learned from Morgan Freeman was the fact that he was responsible for the miracle. And he took on the phrase, be the miracle. Be the change. We live in a world where God can do whatever God wants to do whenever God chooses to do it. Don't get me wrong. But we also live in a world where God places responsibility for what goes on here in this world and within our lives on us, giving us the understanding that we have been blessed enough with the gifts that we have that we can go out and we can be the miracle in the world in which we live, that we can take those things that God has blessed us with and we can change the world. We can step out of our everyday lives and understand that those blessings are significant enough that when they're coupled with the blessings of others, they can make a huge difference within the world. Now, none of us were there 2,000 years ago when those 10,000, 5,000, 4,000, 3,000, 7,800 people were fed. But one reality may very well be that it was the inspiration of that little boy that caused other people to look into their bags and say, oh, look, I have something I can add to that. I can help in this process. I can make a difference. I can change this situation. I can help feed these people. Perhaps it was that Jesus blessed it and it simply multiplied in abundance beyond anything else. I don't know. I wasn't there. But the reality is that little boy did step forward and said, I can make a difference here. He could be the miracle. And whether it was other people who donated food through that process or whether it was simply the blessing of God that multiplied the food, it started with that little boy stepping forward and understanding that he had all he needed to be able to make a difference. He took the abundance of what God had blessed him with and he used it not for himself, but he used it for the good of that world he was in at that point in time. He was the miracle. God gives us that opportunity each and every day to be a miracle in somebody's life or in somebody's world. To be able to do what we can with what God has blessed us with, to step out of our everyday lives and to be able to serve the needs of the world around us. To be able to make a difference within this world by understanding that the blessings we have are abundant enough to certainly be a miracle each and every day that we choose to make it so. And it just simply matters on where we choose to focus our lives. Are we focusing within? Or are we focusing out here? Are we taking what God has blessed us with and are we using it for the betterment of our own personal lives? Or are we using it for the betterment of the world around us? Are we using those blessings as something just to hold and cherish for ourselves? Or do we understand those blessings to be gifts to be shared with the world at large? We can be the miracle by simply taking what we have and being who we are and using them for a world in need, a world that cries out in thirst, a world that cries out in hunger, a world that cries out in pain. God has given us lives to live. But he's given us those lives so that we may give.